Welcome to this meeting of the Waverley Local Planning Panel. The panel consists of independent experts, all who have been appointed through a process independently of council in some respects. But the panel is just exactly what I said. It is an expert panel dealing with the matters that are before it. Each matter will be called in order on the agenda. Persons who are registered to speak will come forward to the microphone in the middle, and after 3 minutes there will be an alarm which goes off and indicates to you you should finish up there and then, in fairness to other people. I'll ask whether any member of the panel, while I think of it, has a declaration of interest to make in respect of any matter. No conflicts. Right. Panel, as I said, consists of independent experts, and I'll ask each one to just give you a short introduction as to who they are and what their expertise is. My name is, they call me Angus Talbot, and I've been a solicitor for longer than I like to think, and after that I was a barrister for a similar time, and then I spent 15 years on the Land and Environment Court bench as a judge. Since then I've done various independent tasks, and I'm on three of these types of panels in other councils. I'll ask, starting with the community rep, to the others to introduce themselves.
Hello, my name's Penelope Mora. I am the community representative on this panel. My background is legal. That's all I've got to say, I think.
Jan.
Good afternoon. Jan Morrell. I'm an independent planner. I've been a planner for over 40 years, and I sit on a number of these panels as an independent expert and also chair a number of panels. And prior to my retirement 6 years ago, I was a commissioner with the Land and Environment Court for 14 years, and prior to that I was the corporate manager of Environment Development and Planning at Liverpool City Council.
Good afternoon. I'm Richard Thorpe. I'm an architect. I have retired from my firm about 10 years ago, but have a sort of 40-year long record working on very major projects in Australia and other parts of the world. I have been a planning commissioner for 6 years, the first 6 years of the Planning Assessment Commission. And I sit on now, I think, about seven of these local planning panels. Thank you.
Now we'll deal with each of the items in order as they appear on the agenda. And the first development application we will address is the one in respect of number 6 St Thomas Street, Bronte. And the first person that is listed, and I'll ask them to come forward, is Adrienne Magidis. Thank you.
Thank you. I live at number 8 St Thomas Street, which is the adjacent property. I just have a couple of comments to make.
If you could lift your voice a bit, it would be very helpful, because we'd like to hear you.
Closer. Is that better?
Yeah, that's better. Thank you.
Firstly, the amended DA is now a full demolition and so forth, and a new erection of a new property. So we really wish to ensure that when prior to these excavations, demolitions occurring, that that hopefully a dilapidation report occurs on our property to make sure we don't have any problems arising from the works. And secondly, during the construction period, I do really want to make sure that there is a safe boundary separation occurring between our properties. My parents are both elderly. They go to the garden a lot. I just want to make sure there's a safe separation and fencing or something occurring on number six's side to keep the works to as much as possible, as is feasibly possible, to that side. There is a new planned in the DA, a new side boundary fence with our property planned, and we're happy to hopefully have negotiations onto that once the construction has been completed. And then my final point is, in September we did have some discussions which were initiated by the architects of number six, and they were generally positive, but we are welcoming the reiteration and confirmation of the omission of the blade wall, nib wall, that's on the south terrace on level one on our property, and we welcome that's being removed on, on the amended plans. And that's it.
Thank you very much for your assistance, and you probably would have read the conditions, which are quite extensive in relation to the type of concern that you had regarding construction.
Thank
All right, thank you for your assistance. Leyland Sanchez. Now, this is in relation to the same interest.
It is. Could I correct you? My name is Leyland Sanchez.
Leyland.
L-E-L-A-N-D.
Yes, all right then. Thank you.
You've
got a right of saying what your name is. That's still allowed.
I've done that a few times.
Yes. You can call me Angus, even though that's not my name at all.
Well, Leyland is indeed my name.
Panel anyway, thank you, Mr. Sanchez, seriously.
Thank you. Panel members, my name's Leyland Sanchez, and I'm the planning consultant for the Magidis at 8 St. Thomas Street. I represented the Magidis when the previous DA came before the panel on the 25th of July last year, which was alterations and additions. We do have some concerns about the current application for a new dwelling. First concern is this, that the plans before council, the plans that are in the agenda, sorry, not council, the panel, the plans that are in the agenda for the southwest and northern elevations show a FFL of the first floor, level two, of 57.085. That's on drawings DA11, DA09, and DA08. 57.085.
The east elevation. Say those numbers again.
So 57.085.
Yeah. Yes.
On the east, on the west, south, and north elevations, they're consistent. Okay? Tell me if I'm going too fast.
No.
The FFLs on the east elevation and on section AA for the same level, the first floor level, is 56.840. A difference of 245 millimetres. I have no explanation, I have no idea why, unless it's an error.
Are you following that?
Is the panel comfortable if I go on, or would you like me to wait?
No, no, please continue.
Okay. If this is an error disregarding the floor levels between the section and the elevations, obviously it just needs to be corrected, and the before any approval of the application. If it is an error in making the plans consistent, there is also a very small discrepancy between the FFL of the first floor plan, DA06, 57.09, and the previously mentioned 57.085. And that's only 5 millimetres.
Thank you.
Okay. So I think the panel needs to correct, make sure these are correct before any determination.
All right.
Second aspect is the GFA, the floor space ratio. The proposed FSR at present is 0.58 to 1. I noticed that the drawing of calculations submitted by the architects has a bubbled area where things have obviously been changed and was submitted in January. The FSR, the previous proposal was 0.53 to 1. Now, while that application is not before the panel now, the report does say that the current application is, quote, is effectively identical to the previous DA proposal. I don't see how it can be. I did email council's planner last week.
All right, to have that checked.
Ask for an explanation, and he said that the current application has been assessed in accordance with the definition of GFA and FSR, and he said the assessment of the previous application was obviously in
all
accordance with...
All right, we'll have that checked. Have you got okay. any other points? Your okay. time's up.
My concern is that with the non-compliance of the side boundary wall, of now for a new dwelling of 1.5 metres, the DCP requirement...
Which wall is that?
The side boundary wall,
right.
southern side boundary wall, that I want the panel to be aware that there is that non-compliance, whereas previously there had been not been.
Right.
But our concern, my concerns relate back to what I'd previously told the panel, as still now with east-west facing lots, the shadowing effects on the three levels of windows in the Majiti's northern
right,
side
elevations.
Have
you got any other points?
No, just the shadowing.
All right, shadowing.
And that's
okay.
all I wanted to say to the panel.
Thank you very much for your assistance. And those matters will be checked before any decision is made.
Okay.
Moving on then to item number two, noting that the decision in relation to these items.
Just in the previous item, Andrew Narek's the applicant. I did register. We're just here to answer questions, so if there are any questions.
Well, your registration never made it to me, so.
I apologise.
Yes, all right. Could you? Are you the architect, are you?
The architect is with me. I'm
yeah, well, perhaps the architect might come forward to address those issues that were raised by Mr. Sanchez.
So Stephen Neal from Neeson
Architects. Stephen Neal, yes. Did you follow what Mr. Sanchez was saying?
Yes, I did. But
all right.
Yes, I did.
If you could quickly just deal with it.
So the
one way or the other.
Okay. The first item, the item of levels, the RL level seems to be an error, which would can be.
Which is
sorry.
The correct.
Speak up.
The correct level is the previous level, the level first noted.
What does that mean again? So, make that clear. The correct level is the previous level.
It's incorrect on drawing.
You mean the amended plans are wrong?
It is incorrect on DA 10.01.
10.01 is wrong.
It's showing it as 56.840.
Well, that's the plan you're seeking approval for, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes, 10.01. So what are you changing?
The correct RL level. Well, in fact, that's...
There's an RL of 57.29. Is that what we're talking about?
The RL of 57.290 seems to is describing the wall level.
Yeah.
The description. Sorry.
The FFL of 56.840 is describing a floor level.
Right. Are they both right or both wrong, or one right or one wrong? Or don't you know?
Without that previous information, it's I need to make a judgment on the spot.
Someone's got to make it.
Level 2, RL 57.085.
Sorry?
FFL...
The section AA
yes.
shows that first floor level at 56.840, and on the other plans it's 57
0.085.
Unless that's the height of the nib. 57, no, 57, yeah, I see.
So the height of the nib is 57.290.
That's not the discrepancy that's asked to clarify. It's the 56.840 and the 57.085, which is shown as the first floor level on different plans.
For example, what other plan? What number is that?
01.
01's not it. DA01 is a... 01 is a... I'm going to stand this matter down so that you can do your homework.
Yes.
Mr. Neil, I'm standing the matter down and I'll call it later.
Okay.
Go away and work it out, please. I don't think it's going to make any difference. It just needs to be right. The determinations by the panel will be made this afternoon and will appear, hopefully, on the website tomorrow. I'm standing matter number one down to enable some checking to be taking place. And, Mr. Neil, it may be a good idea if you spoke to Mr. Sanchez while you're at it. Sanchez. Item number two relates to development at 56 Ramsgate Avenue, North Bondi. The first person who is listed to speak is Architect Ian Bennett. Thank you, Mr. Bennett.
Thank you. So, I'm the architect on the project and I'm here to speak to in relation to condition 2A that's been...
Yes.
Yes? Which is the retention of the face brick exterior to the street.
Yes, we want to talk to you about that too. Go on.
Okay. Street elevation of the building. So we are not located within a heritage conservation zone. We are located across the road. Secondly, within Waverley's interwar fact sheet, interwar buildings are described to have face brickwork, rendered brickwork, painted brickwork, stucco. Furthermore, the images used within that example show many rendered brick buildings. This is a style of interwar architecture. The existing face brickwork is in poor condition, and we are doing work to the front of the building in relation to windows and shading. So to match those existing bricks exactly is going to be a bit of a mismatch anyway. There are also 13 examples within our street, or within our portion of the street, of interwar buildings that are rendered at the moment. So we're sitting within character of our street. And this is a contemporary upgrade to an interwar building. This isn't trying to replicate exactly what was there in the past. Does the panel have any questions?
Yes, do you want to ask some questions about it?
Can you just... Can you just advise us of the rectification works that need to be done
in terms of the stability of the face brick as we see it today?
Yes, so we've got a builder already lined up for this project and I spoke to him prior to this meeting. He said the brickwork is in poor condition. It can be rectified in the case that they can repoint all that brickwork. He said, if you ask me to do that, I'm telling you I can do it, but it's going to be a very costly exercise. And he said, seeing that we've got approval, or recommendation of approval, to render three phases of it, why are we not rendering the whole building?
Thorpe, have you got any?
It's not so much a question, more as an observation, that certainly on the inspection we made this morning, I could see that the brickwork both on the sides, elevations, and the front facade are not in good condition. It does need repointing. At a personal level, I suppose I would take the road of rendering it. I guess I can be persuaded one way or the other, to be very fair to my fellow members on the panel. I think if the interwar period had its time over, they would have paid more attention to their elevations and their materials anyway. I think it was very low budgets and lack of good quality building materials.
Agreed.
Personifies the interwar period. And I don't know, I guess I'm not a supporter of keeping the brickwork myself.
You got any questions about it for the architect?
No, I guess my question is, how strongly does your client feel about the matter?
This has been going for a year now, this project. It's costing my client a lot of money. So, you know, we're here today hoping for the approval. We don't want it deferred. We don't want it, not approved, rejected on the basis of render. But this is the reason I'm here, to try and put my case or our case forward for render.
Okay. Anything further? No. Thank you, Mr. Bennett. Vaughan Milligan, is he with you?
Yes,
that's Mr. Milligan. Thank you, Mr. Milligan. You wish to address the panel?
Yes, very briefly, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee members, for hearing us today. I'm a consultant town planner. I'm largely here to respond to any further questions the committee may have. I'll just make a couple of very brief points. We've been very thankful of council's support throughout the process. We attended a pre-DA meeting. We've also met with council's design review panel, and at all times we've taken on their advice, and we hope we've put forward a proposal which is now supported by staff, and we'd seek the committee's support. My only comment in relation to the render of the building,
yes, please,
is that our package includes a rendering of the building in terms of a diagrammatic representation of the building, which is in the plan information with you. It retains the banding of the brickwork, which was identified by the design review panel as a feature they suggested be retained, and with a rendered building next to it.
Can I just clarify, so the banding to be in the red textured brick, or is it also to be rendered and just become a core?
Well, in our case, we were looking to render it and...
Yes.
You're rendering the whole surface.
Rendering the whole surface, that's right.
If you get your
it wasn't to retain as face. It would have been rendered material over the top.
But they're new corbels.
Yes,
they're not the existing ones there.
I didn't want to keep the red textured corbel detail.
Otherwise, no other comments. If the committee have any questions.
Anything further?
No.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Panel will confer and make a decision which will appear on the website. Item number three, nobody is listed to speak. That relates to 33 Wallace Parade North Bondi, so the panel will make its decision without any further assistance. Item number four relates to the property 62 Military Road, Dover Heights. And the first person who is listed to speak is George Karavanis from GSA Planning. Some of us have been through this before, Mr. Karavanis.
Yes, that's right.
This site.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the panel. I'm speaking on behalf of the applicant in support of the application. Firstly, I'd like to say that we do concur with the assessment report, of course, and the accompanying conditions. Secondly, as you would be aware, while the proposal does exceed the FSR, as indicated in the council officer's report, there are numerous dwellings in the surrounding area which have a similar FSR as the proposal. More importantly, however, the proposal, as you know, introduces a new basement level and that is in order to provide a relationship and connectivity between the dwelling and the rear open space. And in this regard, results in no change to the approved external envelope. In other words, the height, setbacks, landscaped area will not change when compared to the approved development on site. In this regard, the relationship with the neighbours will not change. Proposal will have no impact on the amenity of the neighbours in terms of view loss, overshadowing, loss of privacy, etc. And as a result, the proposal has not attracted any objections from the neighbours either. That's all I'd like to say. It's for these reasons that we think that it's worthy of approval. I'm happy to answer any questions. The architect couldn't be here today.
I don't think there are any questions, but I could be wrong. No? Thank you.
Thank you.
In the circumstances, does Peter Zabadinos, the architect, wish to speak?
He's not here. He couldn't make it today.
How do you know that?
He just said.
Oh, didn't he? I was listening to everything else. Thank you. The result will be published on the website. Item number five, 54 Wollongarra Road, Dover Heights. Mr. Karavanis, do you wish to come back and... and is that Anna Antonides that's with you?
Yes, it is.
Right. Are you a double act or two acts?
We're a single act.
Single act, yep, with two people in it.
With two people. Anna's...
Well, I'm just checking on how many 3 minutes you're going to try and fudge.
We only need the 1 3-minute.
Righto, go.
As you know, my name is George Karavanis. I'm speaking on behalf of the applicant in support of the application. Ms. Anna Antoniadis is here to answer any questions, if the panel has any. Firstly, as indicated, I'd like to confirm that we do concur with a thorough assessment contained in the council officer's report and the conditions, and we do not wish to challenge any of the conditions, other than we'd require correction of two conditions, if we may. Firstly, condition number 17 relates to a certificate of structural adequacy of the existing building. As we're demolishing the building, that condition is redundant, so I think it was just put in by mistake.
What number was that?
Number 17.
17.
And... also, we require correction of condition number 58 in order for it to refer to number 54 Wollongarra Road, which is the subject site, as opposed to 75 Hardy Street, which is just a typo. So just those two conditions, if they could...
Refers to 54.
Yeah, it should refer to the subject site. So that's just some housekeeping. Secondly, as you would be aware, the proposal does exceed the FSR. However, it does comply with all other controls, being the minimum lot size, the maximum height, the maximum wall height, the front, rear and side setbacks, and landscaping open space. So despite the numeric non-compliance, the proposal comprises an envelope that's anticipated by the council controls. As indicated in the assessment report, there are numerous dwellings in the surrounding area that have a similar or greater FSR. And this is not necessarily a matter of precedent, but rather context. The proposal does comprise an appropriate contextual relationship with its neighbours. In respect of impacts, the view assessment of the council officer's report, we feel, has been adequately addressed, as the proposal retains iconic views of the Harbour Bridge and Opera House, and most of the water view, as well as land-water interface. And as I said, it has a compliant level of compliance with all the envelope controls, with the exception of floor space. Shadow cast by the proposed building complies with the council controls, and also the privacy is maintained by separation, compliance setbacks and location of windows. We don't have anything further to add. We feel that for these reasons the proposal is appropriate for the site and the locality, and we're happy to answer any questions of the panel.
Thank you. Any questions? Lee Manser, do you wish to speak?
No,
been covered.
No need to address the panel, George's address.
All right, thank you. Might even end up talking us out of it, so. Item number six relates to 75 Hardy Street, Dover Heights. The first person that I asked to speak is Cecilia Rose, on behalf of the owner of 29 Wollongarra Road, Dover Heights. Bronwyn Klinger. I hope I got that right, did I, Ms. Rose?
Thank you.
Thank you. Please come. Can you go to the next chair where the microphones are light? Thank you very much. We visited the site this morning, so you can talk on the basis that we've been to the property.
Thank you. As I said, as you indicated, I act for the owner of 29 Willangara Road, and she's asked me to speak on her behalf. We'd ask that the panel review the submission that we provided to council, as many of the matters that we've raised have not been addressed in the council report. I've got copies if you would like that. There are a number of concerns with the proposal, but I'll focus on the following issues. The extent of the view loss is between the high range of severe and moderate across the living areas and has not been characterised correctly in Council's report or analysed on the basis of correct view sharing principles. The Clause 4.6 requests are inadequate, and in our submission the application is incapable of approval on the basis of the 4.6 requests that accompany the application. The FSR and height breach, the development standards and the impacts they cause are not reasonable, they're not necessary, having regard to the site context and the view loss impacts. As to view loss, the view from 29 Willangara Road is an iconic one. It is a whole view in which the interface of the land and the water is visible. The views are from the kitchen, dining, lounge and living areas in the ground and lower ground floors. These are the most used and lived in areas of the home. Views from a sitting position will be completely lost due to the breach of the height limit. The height of the building should be dropped by at least 800 millimetres to promote view sharing principles. Dropping the ceiling heights alone will have a considerable impact on the views preserved. Tenacity says that a moderate impact may be assessed as unreasonable in circumstances of non-compliance with planning controls. In this case, the impact is in the high range of severe in some locations. The application should be refused on this basis, but at least a reduction in the height should be required in the range of at least 800 millimetres to comply with.
Now, you're talking only about the ground floor, aren't you?
Well, it's
the upper floor is perfectly all right.
It's from the lower ground floor and the ground floor where the view losses are experienced, but those are the living areas of
the house. We were taken down to the lower ground floor. There were only two floors that we were taken to.
Yes. Yeah.
You walked into the ground floor. We walked into the ground floor and then walked down to the lower ground floor. The lower ground floor is excavated, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
To a degree,
thank
yes.
You.
Yep.
You understand that the tenacity requires a consideration of views for the entire property, not just from one spot? On the property?
Absolutely,
yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Okay. Yes. As to the clause 4.6 requests supplied, the written requests do not admit any impact on 29 Willangara Road. Even if you disagree about the impact, there's a change to the view. That's an impact. And there's no analysis of that impact in either of the clause 4.6 written requests. 4.6 requires the applicant to adequately address the elements in clause 4.6.3. That cannot be done if there is no analysis of the change in the view to either 29 or 27.
I'll give you another minute because of the interruptions.
Thank you. The FSR written request simply states the additional floor space has little impact on perceived bulk or scale or impact on the public domain on adjacent sites. There's no analysis of what that additional impact is. It's the failure to address the impact, whether large or small, that results in a defective written request that fails to satisfy clause 4.6, 3 and 4. And in our submission, the consent authority cannot approve the DA where the analysis has not been undertaken. As to the height breach, the variation is for almost 25% more than the height standard. One of the objectives of the clause is to ensure compatibility with the height, bulk and scale of the desired future character of the locality. The desired future character can be ascertained from the LEP and DCP controls, which contemplate two-storey buildings, a maximum height of 8.5, wall height of 7 metres, FSR of 0.5 to 1. The proposal breaches all of those elements of the desired future character. There's no reasonable excuse for the non-compliance with the height standard or FSR standard. It should be complied with, and for those reasons, we'd say that the application should be refused.
Any questions?
I have copies of our submission if you want them. You may already have them.
36. Just one moment, we're just checking something that came up during your submission. It's only very minor height exceedance, isn't it?
25%, about 24.6 or something percent, I think it is.
Over the existing?
Over the height limit.
Over the height limit.
Over the height limit, yeah.
And that is for the western end?
Yes, yeah.
Not directly behind your...
My understanding is that the highest part of the building is that... I suppose that setback area at the top, which is on the western boundary, boundary adjacent to my client's property. If I look at the elevations.
Anything further? Valerie? Richard? Thank you.
Thank you.
Tony Moody, on behalf of David and Jody Lowinger. We visited the site with you this morning, Mr. Moody, and you gave us a copy of the submission you proposed to make.
Yes.
Is there anything further you want to add?
Just, Chair and panel members, just to reiterate the recommended additional conditions, which based on my experience, the conditions are reflective of many of the court's conditions, but I defer to greater knowledge of the judge and former commissioner. There was just one issue. There was going to be an RL, a survey plan showing the parapet.
Yes,
of
that
the...
is to hand.
Yes.
And it has confirmed the information, and we're prepared to make that available to Mr. Moody. There's nothing...
I just reiterate my points about view loss from my client's property.
What we're saying is, Mr. Moody, it...
Yeah.
Finds that the height of the building next door to your client's property is only millimetres different.
Very good. Well, I stand by my comments, and my client stands by the comments. I can't raise objection on under tenacity.
No, thank you, Mr. Moody, for that realistic approach to the position.
Thank you.
Aristia Bezos. You're the applicant and the owner?
I am the applicant and the owner, thank you.
Thank you.
Look, the report is very thorough, so the only reason I wanted to address the panel today was to kind of give you some personal background as to why we want to build what we want to build. This is not the plans that we put in originally. We actually received a deferral from council, and we took that quite seriously, especially because we had neighbours that were unhappy. Our plan is to live there for the long haul, so we don't want to have neighbours that are unhappy, so we went to the architect that day and asked them to address the issues that not just council raised, but especially what the neighbours' concerns were. We looked at the height very carefully, and the beauty of our street, as you would have seen, is that it falls away quite dramatically, with Wallangra Road actually on ground level being at 72,400, and our proposed roof line is actually at 63,700. So we're actually still quite below, and I imagine that as a panel you'll see many places where they're on the same level and a change in the height would make a big impact. We feel that we're in a situation where we're hoping that all parties can actually be satisfied with not being a view loss but view sharing. And the reason that we want to go to that height is because our sewerage is actually located in a position that if we go lower, it may need pumping, and the water will make it difficult for us to collect the water. As for the size, council did recommend that we lower the FSR, so we did do that. We've tried to stay very consistent with every other build, and we're actually at 16% compared to the rest of the area that's gone up to about 22%. The purpose for us going over is that I want to provide a place for our parents to live. It's a one-bedroom dwelling in front, attached, and I'm an only child, so it will afford me to look after them, willingly so. So the purpose for us to take forward of this build is for that to provide a place for me and my family so that they can grow older and have remain with some independence. We've tried to remain consistent with all of the other builds around us, and if more so because we've added articulation. And we've seriously taken our neighbours concerned into the planning and believe and the architects, and as noted in the council report, that this view can be shared, and we hope that the panel agrees. Thank you.
Thank you for your assistance. The panel will publish it, so we'll have the determination will be published on the website tomorrow. Moving on then to item number 7, relating to the proposed development at 16 Owen Street, North Bondi. The only person listed to speak is the applicant, Paul Seberg.
Thank you to the panel for listening today. I speak on behalf of the owners of the subject property at 16 Owen Street. They would like to reiterate that they accept or they support the recommendation for approval and accepting of the condition to reduce the rear setback at level one. Just like to
followed a very sensible course of relating to the neighbours and the objectors and having a proper relationship with them.
They certainly, the owners in that case, have taken the initiative. So we'd just like to make the points that initially there were 7 objections, which all related to the removal of a large tree at the front of the site and to actually put double driveway in. The plans have since been amended to retain the tree and go with a single driveway that satisfies the retention of the tree at the same time. Those objections have since been all taken back, and we even have a letter of support from each adjoining neighbour. And the only other point that to wish to make is that we do have compliance with all requirements of LEP and DCP other than the FSR being the only non-compliance with the project.
Thank you.
And that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The result will be published on the website. Item number 8 relates to the proposed development at 62 Gilgandra Road, North Bondi. And the first persons who wish to speak are Lee and Rosemary Stockley. We met on site this morning, Mr. Stockley, and we're aware of your interest in the property and where your present interests lie.
Right, thank you for that. My main concern, as I pointed out to you this morning, is the height of the proposal that is going ahead. It will overshadow my property by at least a metre. It doesn't conform with the compliance of the council's regulations. It also goes over the shadow, goes over my solar as well. Now, I'm pretty reasonable sort of a guy. I'm not an architect or anything else. But I thought that I was having a very, very good relationship with Jonathan Brown. He's put one application in, which was knocked back. He rang me and assured me that he would comply, be fully compliant. All he's done, or his architect has done, is to chop half a floor off at the top, which means that it might look 2 stories at the front, but it'll still be 3 stories at the back. And he is fully aware, because I gave him a detailed drawing of where my windows to my upper floor are going to be. So, okay, fair enough. You throw your penny in and see how you go. The second thing is he is non-compliant with the actual setback. All he's doing with that, and for some reason, I don't know why, his son, if he's going to speak, may be able to tell you, all we will see from my property at 60, looking onto 62, will be, on the western side, will be a wall. And for me, it's unbelievable. You all went down and had a look at the property today. You looked at the setbacks of the properties to the right and left of us. We've all, over the last 20 years, stayed in line.
What do you understand the setbacks to be, just to see if we're all on the same page?
Well, I believe that the, where, you know, and as I said, I'm not an architect.
No, but you know the, you know the distance of the setback?
No, unfortunately I don't.
You're talking about the rear setback.
The rear setback, yeah, sorry, I should have said the rear setback, thank you. If you looked at the side, and I know a couple of the ladies did go down and have a look at the properties on either side, and you'll see that those setbacks were all in line. Even on at 64, that's still in line. So, I mean, just to lose privacy, you know, I just can't, you know, I just can't understand why we're doing it. My property...
The setback is compliant with council's controls.
Is it?
The rear setback.
Yes. Oh, okay. Thank you. All right, well.
No, it's just
yeah. No, thank you
because
for that.
We have looked at that and we understood that from being on site.
Yeah. Right, being a lot further down the backyard.
Well, we understand what you're saying, that your house will finish further from the rear boundary than what the proposed development will, but it still complies with council's rear setback.
Oh, okay. Well, that was something I was not aware of.
Side setback, you realise, is 900 for the first two levels.
Yeah, and then...
And then more for the third.
Third, yeah.
1.5.
Yeah, that's correct. Mm. No, that
so you're talking on the basis that they're the side setbacks.
That's correct. As I said, my property, when I went to the architect, I said I want it to be compliant... All the way, not over.
You appreciate then, just while we're on compliance, that the height non-compliance, as the panel sees it, is a very small section of the roof at the rear.
Well, that actually would cover. If you looked at it this morning, and I know I've gone over time,
well,
but
we're
looked
talking
at
about, we're talking about. Oh, well, we're causing the time problem.
Oh, okay, thanks.
The plans show only a very, very minor exceedance. How much was it again? I think
it's in the order of 350 millimetres.
In one small section.
When, you know, as I said, not being an architect, but when I looked at it, if you looked at the slope of the street going up...
We're just checking that we're all looking at it in the same context.
I appreciate this. Yeah, if you looked at all the properties going up, they're approximately 300 as they go higher because you're going up the hill. When I looked at the diagrams, and you know, maybe I'm wrong, I took that as a metre. The height, his finished height, would be a metre over my finished height. Wrong? Right?
But
the RL might be. Yeah.
But in terms of the controls, it's only a small portion of the roof and a small portion of the wall that exceeds the wall height.
So that would still throw over the overshade then, over the solar and the bedrooms?
Well, we'll check that.
Okay. Yes.
We'll look at that. But there, of course, is a difference in ground level.
Correct. I agree. 300.
There's only a difference in ground level. This is being excavated.
Yes.
And that's where he's going to have problems. But and that's not my problem.
No. Not yet.
Anyway, thank
all
you.
Right. Thank you
very
Mr.
much
Stockley,
for, that.
For your assistance.
Thank
and
you.
We'll look in. We'll double check those matters that we've discussed with you.
I should say thank you for your assistance.
Well, you never know. Spencer Watson.
Thank you, Chairman, and members of the panel.
Yes, Mr. Watson.
Hello there, Mr. Watson, yes. So I just...
You're going to address us?
My name is Spencer Watson.
Yeah.
I'm facing this house.
Yes, we understand. We've read your submission.
Yeah.
What have you got to say?
I'm also not an architect. I'm just here to reinforce some messages that have already been discussed. We'll also talk about my concerns as well. So I notice there's been some significant changes since the first submission.
Yep.
I am also concerned about the side setback. My reason for making a speech here is not that I'd be the most affected. I feel sorry for Rosemary and the chap was just here, but Lee was just here a moment ago, because they were very good with the previous...
Lee, stop.
With Lee, because they were very gracious with the people that moved in and built the house next to them, and they were very acceptable for their arrangements, and they got away with quite a lot working long weekends. So in the essence of a very... It's a cul-de-sac where we live in. It's very quiet. There's babies, there's toddlers, there's children. Very peaceful, professional people.
Reshaping.
A lot of reshaping, and we talk about, oh, it's just over the maximum limit. I don't do your jobs, I'm not telling you what to do, but this is all I hear and all I heard this afternoon. Oh, it's over the maximum, but it's within merit. If you look at the drawings, I'm sorry, I'm not an architect, I look at the drawings and the whole of the rear half of the building is at the maximum, and then it goes down to 350 millimetres. I mean, you have maximums, and then there's stretching the limits. And what we have is an essence of everyone coming onto the street and building new homes and stretching the limit. Oh, but next door has the limit. This is the new limit. I'm asking you to set an example, and it's already happened with a double driveway, which is now a single driveway, of setting maximums.
Well, you do appreciate that, because your submission talked about a double driveway. In fact, it's only single, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a... It was going to be submitted. It's now single, so thank you very much for checking that with you. The FSR is over, but the height worries me. The height worries me. They had a party already 3 weeks ago till 3 o'clock in the morning. If the roof can be used as another party place or with balconies or whatever, I'd be very worried. I just want you to keep an eye on the architect, and in the essence of fair play for a very family friendly street. I want to make sure that...
The roof's clip lock, isn't it?
It looks like a flat roof. I'm not an architect. I can't comment. Please. It is a flat roof. So it's a flat roof. It's very high at the back. I'd say the back half of the building is at the maximum and more. I'd like you to review that in the essence of goodwill and setting an example for a street where everyone's going to the maximum. I went under all the maximums. Why couldn't everybody else... Okay, thank you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Mr. Watson, and we'll take into account what you've put to us. On behalf of the applicant, Ted Quinton, architect. No? No appearance? All right, we'll go back to item number one. And... Mr. Neal, have you managed to reconcile the irreconcilable, or...?
Yes, we have, and thank you for that time to Sanchez. He was correct. There are discrepancies in the finished floor level for level two.
Did you confer with Mr. Sanchez about
this?
Yes,
we did. Yes, we've conferred with Mr. Sanchez about this. The correct FFL for level two is 57.085. It is incorrectly shown on DA 0601.
Wait a minute.
Plan of level two.
Wait. You've got a DA 6 you're on?
06, yes. Yeah. Plan level two.
Six, plan level two, yeah.
In the middle of the house, you'll see it FFL noted as 57.09.
Yes.
The correct FFL is 57.085.
Yeah.
On DA 10, elevation east. To the right side of the drawing, FFL is noted as 56.840.
Yeah.
The correct finished floor level is 57.085.
Yeah.
The third and final drawing is DA 12, section AA. To the left of the drawing, the finished floor level is noted as 56.840. The correct finished floor level is 57.085.
57.085.
In regard to the second matter, which is the FSR,
yes,
we again consulted with Mr. Sanchez, and we're in agreement with Mr. Sanchez that the finished floor level is correct in the second application.
At 0.53.
At 58 to 1. The difference is...
8 to 1.
No, no.
Can't be 58.
Zero, sorry, 0.58.
If it's 58, you're in...
Yeah, we've got a lot.
He's talking about the
FSR
now.
FSR.
Yeah. And I had it down at 5.3. It's going to 5.8.
In the first application, it was 0.53 to 1.
Yes.
In the second, it is 0.58. The difference is... In
what did the council report on?
0.58.
Yeah, the difference is...
The difference is in the first application, the council officer assessing the document did not count the bike store. In the second, the bike store has been counted. And we're in agreement with Mr. Sanchez on that.
Why would you count a bike store?
We're in agreement the envelope doesn't change. It's just the way it's been calculated.
I suppose the envelope does change. Yes, please, Mr. Thorpe.
Mr. Neil, with those changes, are there any other changes on the submission in terms of reduced levels?
No.
Nothing flows through?
Nothing flows through. They seem to be in discrepancies on those drawings.
Okay.
They just typos.
And I did go through this just now, on the remainder of the drawings, DA 08, 09, 11 and 13, which are the north elevation, the south elevation, the west elevation and section BB, they all concur and show the finished floor level of level 2 to be 57.085.
Good.
It's the consistent.
Yes, you ask by all means.
I just had a question that I forgot to ask earlier. The big wall at the rear boundary where you have the pool and the garden, how is that wall to be finished?
The southern boundary?
The eastern boundary.
The existing retaining wall.
Yeah.
It's not changed.
It's not changed from...
No, well, that might be a problem for us.
Would you have any objection to...
any submission to make... about it being rendered.
We have been discussing this with the neighbours to come up with an agreement.
Sure.
Because they're us and two neighbours with what's an appropriate way to finish that wall. So that's an ongoing discussion between the neighbours.
Well, we might like to resolve it.
We would hope the neighbours...
And so what you're being asked is whether... either you've got any observation to make, whether you've got any objection to make of a condition that requires you to render it in a suitable way, rather than raw concrete.
Mm.
Sorry, you
yeah,
go.
No, no.
You go. You
and for example, the planters are cantilevered.
Yes.
So we just need to know details of what the overall finished product is going to be of looking at that wall and the new planters, and how they're all going to be finished, so that we can understand that there is a consistency in presentation.
And while you're getting those instructions, also the landscaping in the strip at the foot of the wall.
Yes. We're happy to provide those details and the render...
Well, no, it'll be details you have to provide to the council.
Yeah, we've got the okay for the render from the...
So, in other words, if we put together conditions relating to those two matters, you don't have anything to put to us to the contrary?
No objection.
Happy?
Yes.
Good,
yes.
Thanks. Right.
And it may require an irrigation system for the bamboo, might be something else.
Hope the bamboo goes.
Yes. Good.
Otherwise, we'll forever trim it. But anyway, that's mine. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. So that... she remembered it. Very good. That concludes the items that the panel had to consider and will now retire to consider. So I will close the meeting, thank those people who spoke to us for their assistance, and you'll find out the results on the website tomorrow. Meeting is closed.